Bowen McGee for TKD.
Welcome back to Mo and McGee on Fantasy, bringing you the last regular episode, recapping that week 18 just a little bit and leading you into some playoff performers, looking ahead to next year, talking about some up and coming players and dead and gone, those guys that you can, I mean, really, it's a super names you can forget, dead and gone segment coming up. So really loaded lineup for you guys today. Logan, any words?
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited, Kevin. We're going to talk about, you know, over 20 players, and that's not even talking about the, you know, the little tangents that we might go on after that. So any time that we get to talk about, you know, a lot of the main guys, I'm excited. I'm also excited to talk about next year with these up-and-comings, the dead and gones. You know, I'll talk about it a little bit at the end of the episode, but super excited. You know, I know for me, Kevin, I don't know about you. I don't know how much you, what, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm going hard in the paint this summer, next season, you know, next season of Mo and McGee on Fantasy. I'm really hoping that it'll just be our biggest and best and we can really blow this thing up. So stay tuned. We got some fun summer, you know, segment ideas. We got a lot of fun things coming up, Kevin.
Yeah, a lot of fun things. Definitely. I'll be bringing out the super stats for you fellas. All you listeners out there, really digging in deep, bringing you all the stats that probably don't matter. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, this year Kevin's talking to you, and he missed the playoffs in like half his league. So.
Oh my God! But I won in two. So, fuck off.
Who cares about those? Oh yeah, whatever.
I made the playoffs in 60% of my leagues. Damn it! Give me some credit.
Yeah, I made it in 75% in my league. So. And I'm in four, so, you know, suck it. And I would have made it in the other one had I not fucking, I started Eli Mitchell the last game and lost by six because he didn't play. So.
Whoops.
Well, Kevin, I, you know, fantasy season is technically over the regular season. However, we got so much fun stuff to do. DFS, me and you are in playoff pools, things like that. So definitely. You know, there's still things to talk about, and I'm really, this is for me one of the best weekends, wild card weekend. We have so many good games. Raiders Bengals should be a good one. Pats Bills the third. You know, 49ers Cowboys should be a great one in Jerry World too. Then definitely excited for that Monday nighter in LA. Let's start off, Kevin, though, talking about some guys that we think can do well in the playoffs. If you're looking at DFS, if you're looking at having yourself like a playoff lineup, I want to talk about Joe Burrow first. You know, as the Vikings have completely blown up their organization here, there's so much talk about how franchise changing a young, good quarterback is. And we've seen this with the Bengals. Last three games, Kevin, 82 completions for 1,128 yards and 9 TDs to 0 interceptions for Joe Burrow. He's on an absolute tear and gets to see a Raiders team that got their ass torn up by Justin Herbert. What are your kind of, what do you think is the range of outcomes for Joe Burrow here in the playoffs?
Yeah, I think sky's the limit. It's definitely a very winnable game against the Raiders. I like the Bengals to advance, and like you said, the Raiders proved that they are very susceptible through the air in that game against the Chargers that really should have ended in a tie, but whatever. I'm looking forward to watching Joe Burrow tear up the Raiders. Four touchdowns, I don't think, is out of the realm of possibilities. I'm a big fan of Joe Burrow at doing big things in the wild card round and potentially in the next round as well.
Yeah, the over under for this game right now is at 49. So, you know, me and Kevin had consistently been telling you guys that's something to look at, and we put that in our kind of segments because it's something that's important when you're talking about daily fantasy and choosing different fantasy you know, lineups. This game's at 49. Cincinnati's favored by 5.5. You know, that the implied total there is good for Joe Burrow because they've been just trusting him to be the main cog in the offense. Many good receivers. Raiders don't have great cover guys. You're right. I don't think four is out of the question for Joe Burrow this week one.
Now, I know that this is the Platt Performance segment, but next year, where do you have Joe Burrow slated?
Well, Kevin, you kind of baited me into this one because you know my answer for this. I am very high on Joe Burrow. You know, I said off stream, so I don't know why Kevin's bringing this up, that I, you know, could potentially see myself ranking him in the top five fantasy quarterbacks next year. And then Kevin came to me with like the, well, who's he going to jump? And I had no idea, but, you know, I'll find a spot for him somewhere up in, you know, the upper echelon. I think he's a guy that is going to be pretty easily accessible in drafts next year with three great receivers, a coach that has total trust in him. I sky's the limit, like you said.
Yeah, Jamie Eisenberg's rankings currently sit at Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Herbert, Rodgers, Brady, Jackson, Murray, Prescott, and then Burrow at nine. I'm with you. I could see him sneaking into that top five with a big season on an offense that wants to throw the ball, can throw the ball. I could see him landing probably in not even top five, top three is in his range of outcomes, certainly.
And we have to think he started off the season kind of slow, but he was coming off that ACL. You know, there's so much made of him being shaky in preseason, but we've seen these last 3 weeks, 4 weeks, that he's a monster and just a great team fit. Talk about team fit, Kevin. It seems like Gabriel Davis and Josh Allen fit very well together. I'm going to keep bringing these last three games up because I think it's a great, you know, barometer of how these guys are going to play in the playoffs. But Gabe Davis, last three games, he's played 24 targets. That equates to about a 16.8 target share. Took those for 11 catches, 164 yards, two touchdowns. Stephon Diggs really stepped up recently, and I think that's good for Gabriel Davis because it'll take some pressure off of him.
Yeah, especially in this first matchup. That probably moves J.C. Jackson strictly onto Stephon Diggs as much as possible, as long as Diggs stays out of the slot. And that only means good things for Gabriel Davis, especially in playoff formats where, you know, maybe you're looking at touchdowns. Gabriel Davis is a name to keep an eye on. I don't know if I like them to advance against the Patriots. I think the Patriots have a really good chance to win that game. So I don't know if I'm going to hype him up in the same way that I am Burrow, but in one game to pick a player from the Bills, Gabe Davis is maybe the guy to pick.
Yeah, he'll come cheap in DFS as well. And when you're looking to set your lineups, you obviously want your Cooper Cups and things like that. But it's important to fill in with high value, kind of lower priced. Gabe Davis fits that to a T. Here's a guy that I am not excited about, Kevin. I don't know about you. You seem to be a little bit higher on him than me. And that's Zeke Elliott. Last four games has 52 rushes for 192 yards. That comes out to a 3.7 yard per attempt. Only has two touchdowns and six catches. Does have a receiving touchdown chipped in there as well. Is Zeke Elliott a guy you can trust in the playoffs?
I'm not sure that you can. I think he's going to run into somewhat of a difficult matchup against the 49ers. I think they can slow him down. Not a guy that, you know, I am super excited about. I do like him for next year, probably more than other people. But if you're looking strictly at the playoffs, I'd rather have a receiver than I would Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, he's going to be high priced in DFS. And when you're looking at picking, you know, in a lot of these playoffs, you're talking about picking one player from each team or something like that. I'd much rather go with Amari Cooper or Michael Gallup than taking a shot at Zeke. Kevin, who do we have next?
Next on the docket is Eli Mitchell. And I think Deebo Samuel has widely won over a lot of fans, but I'm curious on where you're sitting on Eli Mitchell heading into the playoffs here.
Yeah, Kevin, you know what I love about Eli Mitchell? If we look at his full season, he has 207 rush yards. 207 rush attempts, 963 rush yards. That comes out to a 4.7 yards per attempt. That's kind of an elite number right there. When he's played really well. And we've seen the last few times he's played, he's been heavily involved in the pass game as well. I like, if we're talking 49ers DFS options, I like Juwan Jennings as a guy who can potentially break out. But I really like Eli Mitchell, as he's a true bell cow in this, in Kyle Shanahan's system, which can only come out to good things.
Yeah. And since he's come back for this last stint, 21 carries back-to-back games. We're not seeing any touches really go to any of the other backs there in Hasty or Wilson. So I think Eli Mitchell is actually a little sneaky in that it's not going elsewhere. You know that you have at least the volume, and he's been productive this season. I actually really like him as a player in this playoffs, as you're picking DFS lineups or playoff touchdown for pools.
Yeah, Kevin, speaking to the future, next year in redraft and dynasty, where does Eli Mitchell fall in kind of your running back rankings?
I think he's going to fall in the RB2 range, not in the top 12, but in the top 24. Anytime we start a new season, I'm going to be a little bit nervous about those 49ers running backs, just because, I mean, are they going to bring Trey Sermon into the show? Are they going to go out and get somebody to plug in? It's a little bit iffy, so I have to pump the brakes on him, but he's firmly in that RB2 slot for me.
Yeah, he's a tricky one for me in Dynasty as well, because I know Raheem Mostert is a free agent, but we've seen Kyle Shanahan have an affinity to these guys. He's brought in Tevin Coleman from Atlanta to San Francisco. I could see him, you know, re-signing Mostert and having this be, you know, five guys that they could easily play in Mitchell, Jeff Wilson, Jamichael Hasty, Mostert, Sermon. It's a little messy for me to value him high in Dynasty. However, if he is a workhorse next year, he'll be severely underdrafted.
Absolutely. Lots of questions around him, but opportunity to swing and hit big. Next guy here, Mike Evans. I don't know if there's much to feel bad about Mike Evans, to be honest. Since getting hurt in that New Orleans game and returning, three touchdowns in two games, not some two super tough opponents in the Jets or the Panthers, but really with AB gone, with Godwin gone, where else can Brady throw the ball? Obviously Gronk, but Mike Evans is right there too.
Yeah, Kevin, it is a little interesting to me over the last two games. Tyler Johnson has only one less target than Mike Evans. So Tyler Johnson, we thought Cyril Grayson kind of leapfrogged him a little bit, but Cyril Grayson injured. So Ty Johnson's going to step in there. Mike Evans is obviously going to be a huge factor, especially when playing at home. Tampa Bay likes to feed Evans in the red zone. You know, if you're picking one guy from the Bucks, it has to be Gronk, I think. But, you know, if you'd like to go somewhere else with your tight end position, Mike Evans is a fine, fine player.
Absolutely. Next up, we have the up-and-coming segment, which these are going to be players that, you know, showed a little bit this season, but we expect them to take a big leap next year. Who do you have first?
My guy, Kevin, Michael Carter. Mike LaFleur, OC, comes from the Shanahan tree. Robert Saleh, 49er tree, Shanahan tree. You know they're going to want to run the ball. Young quarterback, Zach Wilson, not many receiving options to show. I think Michael Carter could blow up huge. He played in 14 games this year. You know, had 36 receptions in 14 games. Some of those games he was even banged up and didn't finish. 55 targets, Kevin. I, you know, when you're talking about PPR leagues, You want a back that's going to be out there and be in the red zone, also be a receiving threat. And Michael Carter, I've beat this drum. I think he's more exciting to me than Javonte Williams, just purely because I think he might catch 50 passes next year.
And that would certainly put him in a really solid spot for fantasy. On PFF's top 250 players for next year, he's ranking at RB12. That's a little high for me. I think he's probably high-end RB2. I like him more around the RB15 range, maybe. But has one of the best forced missed tackle rates in the NFL, has been really solid when they've given him opportunities. For me, he still plays on the Jets. I still don't expect the Jets to take the big leap and be a good offense. That's what keeps him out of the RB1 range for me. But I think a very solid player that should do very well next season as well.
So, Kevin, you said he was ranked RB12, and then you said, well, way too high, and then you put him at RB15?
I said just a little too high for me, which is exactly where I put him, RB15.
I think a little bit too high.
I think you're Leonard Fournette's, assuming that he comes back to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, your DeAndre Swift, Josh Jacobs, Ezekiel Elliott, Aaron Jones, all guys that are ranked behind him on that list that I think I like just a little bit better than Michael Carter. But you have to take a chance, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin. I will write this down right now. This is a future. Write this down. We'll shove it in there. Michael Carter finishes next season with more PPR points than Josh Jacobs. I would be willing to bet a lot of money on it.
Well, we'll write that down for sure, because I like Josh Jacobs next year. I think we saw it in the Chargers game. He ran all over that Chargers defense. Granted, Kenneth Murray at linebacker has been a problem for them all season. Maybe not the best case study, but he's a great back. And the Raiders are going to want to run the ball next year, regardless of who they have at head coach. So you can write that down, Josh Jacobs ahead of Michael Carter for the Jets next year.
I love it. All right. We got this guy next, Kevin. Now, I had a hard time. He's going to be in his third year next year. He semi-broke out this year, but where's your head at with Darnell Mooney, a guy who is uber talented, obviously really bad offense this year. Matt Nagy got fired because he's so bad at coaching. Where are you at with Darnell Mooney? You know, can you see him jumping into a consistent wide receiver two, or is he more of kind of what we've seen, a boom bust, you know, wide receiver, high end wide receiver three?
Yeah. Allen Robinson is gone next year. There's not a chance in hell that he goes anywhere without a very solid quarterback. So that leaves that wide receiver room wide open. Granted, he probably, I don't think Justin Fields takes the super leap and they suddenly become a solid offense, but he'll be the top target on an NFL team, which instantly puts him ahead of wide receiver 55, which is where PFF currently has him. I like him low, or I'll even go mid wide receiver three territory. Lock him down for at least, wide receiver 36 at minimum.
Yeah, so he finished this season as wide receiver 23. So kind of like I said, low end wide receiver two. He boomed five games, busted four games. He had this stretch last 2 weeks, week 17 and 18, had a couple big games in the middle, 9 and 11, a couple big games there. I don't know what to think of Justin Fields. I don't know if it was just pure incompetence on Nagy, and we saw this in college with Justin Fields, had really great big moments in some big games, but there's also games like Indiana where he almost blew it, and Ohio State should have routed them by 50. I don't know, he could become a really good player. He could not. And Darnell Mooney's career kind of, you know, rests on that question, I guess. And so I'm kind of with you. Somewhere in the mid-20s, 25, 23, where he finished this year, is probably where he'll slot in for my rankings next year as well.
I'm sorry, what was that gap again?
23 to 25.
Good spot. That's very, very narrow. So here's a write-that-down opportunity. PFF currently has Amon-Ra St. Brown at wide receiver 30 for next year. Darnell Mooney or Amon-Ra St. Brown next year?
Mooney.
I like it. I'm with you there. I don't know if there's a write that down there, but I'm with you.
Amon-Ra St. Brown is a tough. I think both teams probably have to draft a wide receiver. So it just depends on which team drafts the highest wide receiver and kind of what type of player that is. You know, a fully healthy year for Hockenson and a wide receiver draft pick probably sours me on Amon-Ra St. Brown. The path is clear for Mooney to continue his ascent, I think. He had 1,000 yards this year, so we're not talking about a guy who's done nothing. This guy clearly kind of took a leap, and, you know, we're talking, can he take the next leap? We're both, sounds like, kind of unsure of that.
And but maybe a little more opportunity for these next couple of guys. That Chargers offense is going to probably be losing Mike Williams, depending on if they're able to re-sign him. He is a free agent. I expect Mike Williams to walk, maybe end up in Detroit. We'll see. Jalen Guyton, Josh Palmer. What do you think of those two guys? Who has the better chance to take the big leap?
Their seasons, Kevin, were, you know, eerily similar. So both guys finished with 49, Palmer with 49 targets, Guyton with 48, 33, 31 receptions. Both had, you know, 4 and 3 touchdowns. Guyton had 7 rushes as well, which he was the only, well, he had the most rush attempts by any Chargers receiver times 2. Guyton, I don't know, Kevin. He showed me a lot this game against the Raiders. He made a lot of big-time catches. I know you're a big Palmer guy, and this is the reason I put them both in together, because I'm actually, if Mike Williams is gone, Justin Herbert is incredible. You know, I think, once again, we're talking with him and Burrow, just two of the guys who we're going to be talking about for the next 10 years. Guyton and Palmer, both super talented, very similar type body type receivers. Keenan Allen's obviously going to, you know, crush in target share and targets. But Mike Williams, if he leaves, frees up 129 targets. You know, if you give each of these guys 100 targets, they're going to produce easy wide receiver 3 numbers.
Yeah, I like Josh Palmer especially. The only reason I do sour on him is the obsession in that offense with Jalen Guyton and forcing him to be involved. That's the only thing that really dials me back on Josh Palmer. Otherwise, I would hammer Josh Palmer ahead of Darnell Mooney next year.
Whoa, that's a big statement, Kevin.
That is a big statement.
You've been kind of pounding the drum for Josh Palmer. What's your obsession with him?
Yeah, decent draft capital, played. He was the best player on his team at Tennessee. I think he showed all the things in college, and it took a little bit of time for him to get ramped up in the NFL, like many rookie receivers, but electric offense. And I think that he fits the Mike Williams type mold a little bit better than Jalen Guyton. I think Jalen Guyton's more of a burner. Josh Palmer is, I think, brings a little more size and strength, than Guyton does. And I think he's the more natural fill in. But a guy that can run routes all 3 levels of the field, I don't know. He just seems like a really good player on a very special offense.
I agree. I mean, like I said, if Mike Williams is indeed gone, I will be taking a shot at one of these guys at the end of the draft. I'm a little bit more of a Jalen Guyton guy just because he did get the playing time over Palmer at Mike Williams' position when Mike Williams was out. And we saw, you know, like you said, at times they seemed like they were trying to force him the ball, which is, you know, a great sign when he's getting those seven rushes as well. So super excited about those guys. I have a hot take, Kevin. I think that if the Chargers miss the playoffs next year, Brandon Staley's gone.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
A lot of football owners are not savvy football guys. They're going to sit in the box, and if he does the same crap next year where he's going for it on fourth downs on his own 20-yard line in a do-or-die game, and then he takes a timeout when the Raiders were clearly trying to just cash the game out, man, I mean, I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way, probably in the Chargers organization as well. I mean, if he does that crap again next year, doesn't make the playoffs, might be two and done for him.
I really don't like that, just because Staley has been such a proponent of analytics, and all of those moves have been backed up by analytics. It did increase.
Analytics doesn't get you to the playoffs, Kevin. Gets your ass kicked by the Raiders.
Actually, what he should have done is went for two after that last big conversion on fourth down. But anyway, you can't. That timeout also wasn't the worst thing in the world. There was only 4 seconds on the play clock. Basically ran it down so that if the Raiders did run the ball, if they did take a knee, play it would have expired. He wouldn't have taken another timeout. It was just clearly because his defense wasn't set up. Granted, out of the timeout, the defense wasn't set up anyway, and Josh Jacobs gashed them for a 12-yard gain or whatever, and that put them into closer field goal range. I think they would have taken a long field goal. It's tough to say what would have happened if he didn't take the timeout. I don't think he was trying to get the ball back. I think he was just afraid that Josh Jacobs was going to gash them, which he inevitably did.
Hey, I like Staley. He took his linebacker off the field and put in a safety. Idiot. All right.
Nope. I like Staley, if nothing else, because of a lot of this Herbert Rise has been, I think, under his tutelment and under trusting his offensive staff to make the right decisions. I think they have to stick with him, and if they don't, perfect replacement for Matt Rhule. Could not have dreamed of a better replacement.
All right, well, that was Mo and McGee's hot take segment about Brandon Staley.
Don't do that.
Let's talk about a guy who did not play a down this year, Kevin. However, highly drafted in the first round. I am very nervous about this guy because I think he was an Urban Meyer pick, and that's Travis Etienne. Where do you think he fits into the Jaguars next year?
Yeah, I definitely think that he was an Urban Meyer pick, kind of the guy that could have filled in that star role, to be that Percy Harvin, to be that running back / receiver combo. It makes me nervous with the incumbent of James Robinson sticking around, what the new coaching staff's going to go with. I love him I had him ranked ahead of Najee Harris. I think his range of outcomes is anywhere between RB1 and RB40. I don't know what to do with Travis Etienne either. I love the talent. I think it's a horrible spot right now. I'm all over the place on him.
What round would you feel comfortable drafting Travis Etienne in a redraft league next year?
When picks stop mattering so much, so probably around 9.
Yeah. That's interesting. Obviously, the preseason is going to tell us a lot about that Jacksonville running back, you know, situation that they got going on. James Robinson has proven through 2 years that he is very talented. It all comes down to, you're right, coaching staff. Travis Etienne is incredibly, if he didn't go to the Jaguars, we'd be talking about this guy no matter what team he's on. So we do have to keep that in mind. but you're getting a guy coming off an ACL. He ran a lot in college, worries me a little bit. You're right. You probably need to wait until you're filling some ancillary pieces of your roster out. You don't want to be depending on Travis Etienne.
No, you don't want to be. But at the same time, I think that ceiling is massive. It's a guy that has the potential to catch 80 balls next year, which, you know, you can list on probably just two hands, like the guys that are going to have that type of skill set to catch that many balls.
Unless you're missing fingers and you need some toes as well, probably. Let's talk about a guy who is a Panther, Kevin. I wanted to sneak a Panther on here for you to talk about. And this is a guy that I'm actually, I was going to say that I am sneaky on, like I sneaky want to draft him next year. But now that I put him on the podcast, it's probably not sneaky anymore. But Tommy Trimble, Trimble.
Okay. Perfect.
I think I said both there, but Tommy, I'll just call him Tommy.
Tommy T.
Tommy T had 20 catches, which ended up being third on the Panthers this year, but showed some explosiveness. They got him 3 rush attempts, which as a tight end, I mean, you only hear about like Travis Kelce doing that kind of stuff. Kind of similar question to Travis Etienne. Range of outcomes for Tommy Trimble. Is he going to be the guy next year in Carolina at the tight end spot?
He definitely could be. I could see him overtaking Ian Thomas at that tight end position, basically running all those tight end routes that actually Ian Thomas runs so many routes to catch basically no balls every year. It's becoming disgusting to watch, really. You've seen him get involved in the running game, and tight ends are always a little bit slower to bring on as rookies, as we've seen pretty much across the board. You know, Kyle Pitts really being a true anomaly in that. I think Tommy Trimble could take a big leap. I like taking him with the last pick in your draft. I could see a Mark Andrews type leap next year. Not Mark Andrews of this year, tight end one, but Mark Andrews coming off that rookie season, getting, I think, 5 or 6 touchdowns for the Ravens and quite a few yards. He's got the athletic profile to be a special player. I am in love with Tommy Trimble.
Yeah, Carolina definitely has to figure out the quarterback situation, but if they can get someone stable, Kirk Cousins maybe, I don't know. they get someone stable in there to throw the ball. Yeah, you know, I'm very high on all the Carolina pass catchers for next year if they can figure out the quarterback, because I believe they're going to be undervalued, especially, you know, Robbie Anderson. I still do think that he's a pretty special talent. Obviously, he had some ups and downs this year, but just a terrible quarterback situation. So, yeah, excited about Tommy Trimble, Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore. I'm up on those guys. Sneaky Terrace Marshall could, you know, see some more time next year as well.
Yeah. And I have to throw DJ Moore out there a little bit. I think he, if they land a decent quarterback, a lock for wide receiver one.
Ooh. So he's lock top 12?
Lock top 12.
If
they settle on a decent quarterback. Big caveat, probably won't happen. But I think DJ Moore.
What pick are you guys this year in the draft, Kevin? Panthers?
Sixth.
All right, we'll take that for Kirk. We will. Do that
deal. I don't think Carolina will be picking up that contract.
He's a professional quarterback, Kevin. You know, top 15 kind of guy. Come on.
Top 15 is creeping on Sam Darnold territory too quickly for me.
All right, well. Speaking of Sam Darnold, this is the dead and gone segment where we're talking about guys who maybe had some value this year at one point or another, or they were, you know, formerly legends of the game or fantasy relevant. Most of the guys I tried to pick were fantasy relevant this year. I did do a special tight end category at the end, just kind of a career achievement award. But let's start off with Devonta Freeman. I don't know about you, Kevin, but I see no way that he returns any type of value comparative to what he did this year. I think this was just a kind of crazy circumstances that led to Devonta Freeman playing a lot of snaps that he definitely will not get next year. I'm not saying that he's not going to be in the league, but he finished as running back 31. I think that's an absolute ceiling.
Yeah, if you look at what has to happen for Devonta Freeman to be that relevant again, he either has to stay on the Ravens and have J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards get hurt again, or, you know, he has to find his way to, you know, maybe the Steelers and be the top handcuff there if Najee goes down. Really, outside of that, tough time. I mean, it took forever him to get signed in the first place. I have a tough time believing that there's anything out there for Devonta Freeman. If you can shed him in Dynasty for just about anything, even a late third round pick, it's probably worth it.
Yeah, we're talking about a Baltimore Ravens team that was actually going into the season. Obviously, Dobbins goes down, Edwards goes down, but I think they thought that they were good with Tyson Williams and Latavius Murray. Tyson Williams, I don't really know what the situation was there. Looked, you know, pretty talented, but obviously they couldn't trust him. Latavius Murray gets injured. That leads to Devonta Freeman kind of taking a stranglehold on the job. And, you know, in a Ravens offense, the starting running back does matter. So if somehow, by a miracle, he does end up as the Ravens starting running back, obviously it matters. But I think dead and gone, I will not be looking again at Devonta Freeman.
Another guy we won't be looking at again next year, or maybe some people will be, but probably incorrectly, is Chuba Hubbard, back on the Panthers. Enter his sophomore season behind Christian McCaffrey. I just saw too much of Ameer Abdullah, a guy that is really regarded as not very special by many NFL teams, taking a bunch of work from him. So not the handcuff that a lot of people thought he was, and I don't think he'll be the handcuff that people probably predict he'll be next year either.
Yeah, Christian McCaffrey, when healthy, is, you know, as many people know, true three down, full game workhorse. And he went down this year, Kevin. He didn't play. And Chuba Hubbard had a full opportunity to say, I am a good NFL running back and I can do this. I didn't see it. 3.6 yards per attempt. He only had 25 catches. Ameer Abdullah finished with 10 more catches than him on the season. So they're not even thinking that he is a three down back. He's a two down back and he's a backup. We also saw Royce Freeman get worked in a little bit as well. Yeah, I just have zero confidence in him ever being a guy that's dependable in fantasy, even if McCaffrey goes down next year.
Yeah. And if you look at the guys that you could probably get in the same range, I'd much rather have a Khalil Herbert. I'd much rather have even some of these guys that aren't even on NFL teams right now or free agents. Philip Lindsay is probably going to catch on at a better spot than what Chuba Hubbard could get. Some of these guys could come in and instantly supplant him. Just not good outlook for a guy that, unfortunately, the Panthers are kind of high on, but I just haven't. But he hasn't been as productive as he needed to be.
Yeah, you could draft guys like Gio Bernard around that range probably and think they're going to be superstars.
Yeah, say that they're a lock to be an RB2.
Whoops. next guy, a former Carolina running back himself, Mike Davis. We thought, and I think not just we, a lot of people thought he was going to be in a great opportunity in Atlanta. And he did have a lot of opportunity, Kevin, but just did not capitalize on it. And I think Atlanta is a prime place for a running back to land because they like using Cordero all over the place. I don't think they want him as their three-down workhorse. So I can see a running back getting drafted there or even a Philip Lindsay type landing there and having him and Cordero Patterson switch off. I think Mike Davis is probably done as a fantasy viable player.
Yeah, I think so too. Cordero is a free agent, but I do expect them to bring him back just because he was basically their offense once Ridley was out.
Perfect fit, yeah.
It was Cordero Patterson and Kyle Pitts. And when you consider Kyle Pitts only had one touchdown, it should have been Mike Davis City. It should have been any of the few touchdowns that the Falcons got should have went to Mike Davis, and he just didn't score enough of them given the opportunity. He's just getting older, just going to get more phased out. A guy whose career we've said should be done a couple of times already, I think, is finally taking the last stab in the chest.
Yeah, and like I said with Devonta Freeman, I fully expect him to probably be on a roster next year just because he's a reliable veteran running back. And no matter what we think about him in fantasy, teams do value that as, holy shit, we're down two running backs. Mike Davis can step in and run an NFL offense. He can pass protect. But I'm not ever going to use him or trust him in fantasy unless it's a Devonta Freeman type situation and you're kind of forced into it. Next guy, crowd favorite. We love him, Kevin. You love him. T.Y. Hilton. I put him on there. I honestly put him on there because I wanted to hear what you think. I know you like T.Y. Is he just done, though?
I do like T.Y. For a long time, he's taken the top off of any defense that you threw out there. He, couple of long touchdowns, instantly won you a week. But with his type of game, probably not going to be taking the top off of too many defenses as he enters, I think, his age 32 season. Really getting up there, losing a little tread on the tires. Is a free agent, so I mean, if he lands on the Chiefs, if he lands, and I have a tough time finding a landing spot that I look at and I say, actually, yeah, T.Y. Hilton could be a top 36 receiver. I just don't see it.
And the problem with T.Y. Hilton for his career has been, you know, like you said, take the top off defense, but super boom bust. He had some great years with Andrew Luck when he was getting, you know, around 8, 9, 10 targets a game. But he did not clear 5 targets in the games he played this year. Had a few games with 5, which is nice. But when you're talking about drafting receivers, you want one of two things. You want A, a guy who's going to get a lot of targets, or B, a guy who could get a lot of targets. I just don't see a scenario where T.Y. Hilton is getting a lot of targets next year. And so that makes me out on him. Like you said, if he finds himself on the Chiefs, or I think an interesting fit with Chris Godwin leaving would be the Bucks. If he does land in something like that, take a flyer on him as like a, you know, end of your draft flyer. But once again, not a guy I'm excited about, like as a keeper or anything. So I'm probably out on T.Y. Hilton unless he just lands in the perfect scenario.
Yeah. Next guy.
That's why these guys are dead and gone, Kevin, because they have to land in a perfect scenario.
And even if they do, you still aren't excited about it. That's the sad part. And we're slowly sending these guys off on a Viking funeral, I feel like. Next guy on the list doesn't even land in PFF's top 250 for next year. Sammy Watkins. He's gotten just about every opportunity I think he could on some decent offenses of late and hasn't done anything with it. Is there any possibility that Sammy Watkins is even draftable next year?
Well, he didn't receive, he received 3 targets from week 14 through 18. I think this is probably just it for Sammy Watkins. Professional wide receiver. He's going to be on a roster next year. But this was kind of a scenario, Kevin, where he was walking into a team that has, you know, consistently failed at bringing in wide receivers since the Anquan Boldin and Steve Smith days. You know, if he didn't do it this year, I don't envision him doing it ever again. We're talking T.Y. Hill and Sammy Watkins. We're talking about, you know, guys that we've been consistently saying their names in drafts for the last, you know, 8, 9 years. However, I don't see him being draftable next year. And once again, if there's a perfect scenario where everyone else on his team is injured, then you maybe take him. But for me, dead and gone once again.
Yeah, let's build out the perfect scenario here. Let's say Rodgers goes across the pond to the Lions and Sammy Watkins signs there. Well, obviously not going to happen. But in that scenario, do you draft Sammy Watkins and where?
I still don't, Kevin, because I think here's my hot take. Davante Adams is a free agent as well. I think Rodgers and Adams are going to want to maybe hook up somewhere. I think Pittsburgh kind of is very intriguing. The Raiders are very intriguing in that regard, where a lot of cap space, room for a number one receiver and a quarterback. Obviously, Raiders have Derek Carr. He's only has one more year left on his contract after this one. So, you know, Rodgers is probably going to have his pick of teams. And I think Davante Adams, if Rodgers is gone, I don't see him sticking in Green Bay. You know, he's going to want to go somewhere to compete for Super Bowls, and the Packers just aren't going to do it with Jordan Love. So that's my hot take about the Packers. You know, I wish them all the worst in the world. So I do hope they lose those two guys.
I'm with you there. I think
absolutely 0% chance that Rodgers is on the Lions next year.
I totally agree. My take for where Rodgers goes, I think he's going to want to go actually to a place where he can grab the head coach by the balls and really run that offense the way he wants. And obviously not going to be able to do that against Dan Campbell and the Lions. That's why I think the Broncos are going to be a really good fit for him. I think that does rule out probably Davante going there as well, unless he went there cheap. But that's what I'm thinking Rodgers is going to go with, is some place where he can be what Brady was with the Bucs and really control the team from the quarterback spot.
Yeah, and what if he, you know, there's once again a potential where he picks one of these teams that does not have a head coach, and maybe his OC, who he walks over, Nathaniel Hackett, is the head coach somewhere, and that could be, you know, if the Raiders take Hackett, Rodgers, and Adams, that'd be interesting. Broncos, Panthers? Logical fit. Yeah. Well, I don't think he's Matt Rhule might dribble on himself if Rodgers. All right. So this was, like I said, kind of a tight end. You know, it's been nice, guys. But Jimmy Graham, Kyle Rudolph, both have been known throughout their careers as just absolute touchdown makers. But we saw both guys. Kyle Rudolph was on the Giants, had every opportunity to, you know, step in and show what he actually did think that he was going to be some like really big tight end this year. Could not play much for the Giants, who suck ass. And Jimmy Graham ended up being, you know, kind of the pseudo number three tight end in Chicago, which obviously wasn't a good offense either. So nice to know you guys. They probably will be in the league next year because they're old and they want to be, but they weren't usable this year in fantasy, won't be ever again.
Yeah, if there's a prop out there for Jimmy Graham over under 1.5 touchdowns, I like that. Otherwise, that's all the only nice thing that I have to say about either of these guys. Happy trails. It was fun.
Yeah, Kevin. So you put this segment out there, most intriguing free agent. So we're going to talk about two guys, two wide receivers that we think can blow up next year, depending on team fit. Who did you go with, Kevin?
I went with Chris Godwin. He is a free agent. It'll be really interesting to see where he lands, especially coming off of, you know, the really tragic injury. He might not be ready for the start of the season wherever he ends up, but if he lands in the right spot, has the opportunity to be the true number one. I still might like him as a player to do well next year, and especially going forward as a dynasty player, a great buy low candidate, especially if he's off to that slow start at the beginning of next season.
Yeah, if you had to pick three of the perfect fits for him, what are some teams that you're liking?
Ooh, that's really tough. It's going to have a lot to do with the other receivers in the offense. I know Detroit's probably up there. I like the Ravens. A lot of these teams that keep trying to find that true wide receiver one, that just haven't been able to find it yet. I think that's going to be the best case scenario for him. Or if he lands on an electric offense, let's say that he does go to the Chargers or he does go to the Chiefs. Oh man, look out.
Yeah, I have a hard time seeing Godwin being a guy who's going to pass up. This is probably his one chance for a huge payday. And, you know, we see wide receivers in there after their second contract. That's when they start, you know, ring chasing. Godwin's going to go to the team that pays him the most. Here's a super interesting take here, Kevin. I think he maybe wants to go somewhere where there already might be a number one. And, you know, he can be that slot guy. You talk about a team maybe like Arizona who has DeAndre Hopkins. They look kind of ready to pop. So that could fit kind of two things where there's another established elite wide receiver. Another interesting one I kind of like is Washington. Teaming up with Terry McLaurin out there. Obviously a lot to figure out with the quarterback situation, but two interesting fits for Godwin, I think, you know, could be interesting.
Yeah, two more that I'll throw out there. Browns and Dolphins, both potential landing spots where he could be the star, especially the Dolphins. If he could pair up with Jalen Waddle, it doesn't matter who's throwing the ball. I think that offense instantly takes a huge leap up, and I'd be in love with Chris Godwin with where I'm expecting his ADP to be next year.
Yeah, if things stay the same at quarterback next year for the Dolphins and Chris Godwin doesn't go there, I'm kind of high on Devontae Parker, who balled out every chance he got this year. He was injured quite a bit, but he did play very well when healthy. And you're right, good wide receiver tandem has a chance to, Godwin has a chance to kind of pick. He's going to have a lot of suitors out there. It's just teams that have cap space and can give him that. My guy is a guy that you flubbed out on your round two draft pick in our big TKD league, Kevin. That's Allen Robinson. I think he gave up this year. I think he said, F this, F Matt Nagy. You guys franchised me, even though I told you not to do it. And I don't think I think he took a Randy Moss Raiders year and kind of said, you know, screw this. I'm done playing with rookies, bad quarterbacks. I think that he still can be a number one receiver. Obviously not a burner, but he's super. I mean, he can beat the elite cover corners. He gets shadowed and he can still go. We saw 2 years ago, Mitch Trubisky was feeding him the ball. He was electric. I don't think he's done. And I think a team like Philadelphia, a team that like maybe Cleveland, who could be moving on from Baker and trying to upgrade at quarterback, could use him as a number one receiver and could fit. Now, do I think he'd love to go to Cleveland where, you know, the quarterback is iffy, or Philly where the quarterback is iffy? Probably not. He probably is going to be chasing an elite quarterback. But I like Allen Robinson to bounce back, and if he's available in fourth, fifth rounds of drafts next year, I'm gonna buy in.
Yeah, and I completely agree with you. I do think he gave up. I think he said, this is kind of a lost cause. I'm not getting my targets, but I'm not gonna fuss about it and hurt my potential payday this offseason. I do think, however, that quarterback will be forefront in his mind, just because he's dealt with the Blake Bortles, he's dealt with the Andy Daltons, he's dealt with the Nick Foles, and he's ready to have a competent quarterback throwing the ball. I think that'll be kind of the ire of his eye. I could take less money to go to a better offense. And I think this offseason, there's going to be a lot of people saying, oh, Allen Robinson, he's washed. But guess what? He's younger than Davante Adams, who's not washed. He's young. He's the same age as Stephon Diggs. He's younger than DeAndre Hopkins. He's younger than Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
The washed narrative is not there for me. I think he still has a lot left in the tank. He's going to be on some pretty fresh legs, in my opinion, after this year. And I'm going to be probably very pleased with wherever he falls.
Yeah, Kevin, it's insane. Guess how many targets Allen Robinson had without looking?
This year?
Yeah.
60?
Yeah, he only had 66 targets. Like, he didn't get an opportunity to ball out. So I'm still big on him. I think he was just in a really shitty situation this year with a quarterback, with a rookie quarterback who I don't really believe in. Unless he was a Viking, then I'd probably find myself like jerking off to Justin Fields tape. But I'm big on Allen Robinson. Once again, if he's available and, you know, fourth, fifth round, I'm all in. Kevin, we have to revisit our flex plays because this, I believe, you know, we've had some bad weeks, but this was bad. Thank God it didn't really matter.
Yeah. We're not super invested in these. Our seasons are done, ready to move on to the offseason. Look to the brighter future. I had Gabe Davis. He was the leader in the flexible flex plays with 6.9 points. And then Josh Reynolds, I was wrong. It was actually a Khalif Raymond day. So if you had Khalif Raymond, good job. You're smarter than me. Josh Reynolds had 2.1 points.
And I picked Marquise Goodwin versus my Vikings. I thought the Vikings would give up. It appeared that they were going to at halftime. And then Zimmer probably said, you know, fuck you guys. This is my last week.
And then Brandon Staley took a timeout, right? Whatever.
And then they played for him, and Marquise Goodwin got shut down. Darnell Mooney had the big day. I thought Marquise Goodwin could maybe, if Mooney got the, you know, Patrick Peterson treatment, he'd maybe get get some opportunities. Didn't really. Kadarius Toney was my other pick. Didn't play, so he actually scored 0 points. So banner week for me, week 18.
Yeah. Good news about picking a player that doesn't play is hopefully people check their lineups and see, oh, he's not active.
Yeah, no one played him.
Nobody played him. So that's a good thing. Right, that downs were a little bit stronger for us last week. Almost completed the Mo and McGee parlay. I had Darnell Mooney, 13.5 points, or more than 13 points. Got that against the Vikes. Had 9 catches for, I think, just under 100 yards, if I remember right.
Got over 100, something like that.
Nice, treat me. And then I had the Bengals plus 6 against the Browns, and that was won over by a late touchdown. So appreciate it. Thank you, Bengals.
Yeah. So I had probably the highest value pick of the day. I said Patrick Taylor was going to score a touchdown versus Detroit. So if you took that Patrick Taylor anytime touchdown score, you got that dub. He did get in the end zone. However, lost out on Bills Jets over. Thought the Bills could do it themselves. They didn't. I don't even know what happened. I think that game ended up with like 37 or 39. Just a bad beat there. However, this week, Kevin, we're going off. Let's complete the Mo and McGee on fantasy season with a Mo and McGee parlay win.
Yeah, and I'm going to really, from the jump, boost your odds because I'm going Kyler anytime touchdown. You should get really good return on that. Just because anytime touchdown means no passing touchdown. It means we're predicting Kyler to run one in. I just don't think that the Cardinals have great odds to get the win this week. I think it's going to be a tough one against the Rams. Kyler's going to have to really shoulder the team, and that's why I like him to run one in.
Yeah, and I, you know, you didn't mention this when you picked it or during this explanation, but there is something to be said that, you know, the Rams are going to force him out. Aaron Donald is going to force the pressure through the middle. So Kyler Murray is going to be scrambling to the outside quite a bit in this game. And that's where he's the most dangerous, when he gets out of the pocket and can see running lanes. So I do like that pick quite a bit. My first pick is, I want you to take the Najee Harris under on the rushing yards prop. Najee Harris banged up, I think, his elbow. They're facing the Chiefs team who, after their horrid stretch, they found some pride on their defense. And, you know, with Chris Jones in the middle there, the Pittsburgh offensive line is not great. I imagine the rushing yard total is probably going to be low to begin with, but I would still take that under. I think the Chiefs, once again, we saw them just absolutely kick these Pittsburgh Steelers' ass. I believe it was on Sunday night or Monday Night Football a few weeks ago. I think it's going to be the same deal here. Najee Harris under rushing yards.
Yeah, the spread's at 12.5. And if that tells you anything, it's saying that Vegas expects Pittsburgh to be trailing pretty much the entire game. not a lot of room to run the ball when you're down by a touchdown or two. It's going to force the ball into Ben's hands, I think, and not in Najee's.
All right, where are you going for your spread bet here, Kevin?
My spread bet here is Eagles 8.5 against the Bucs. The Eagles, I think, to many people's surprise, snuck into the playoffs. I don't like them to beat the Buccaneers, but 8.5 is a lot of points. Bucs haven't looked spectacular despite facing some very horrid teams in the Jets and the Panthers the last couple weeks. Eagles are going to keep it close. Try to make that game as short as possible. Keep that clock rolling. I think 8.5 is going to be a safe spread for you to bet on.
Yeah, I like it. That was one of mine that I was circling as well. This Bucs team is missing a lot of guys. A lot of their big-time wide receivers, Godwin, Cyril Grayson. I just have a hard time. The Eagles have been stingy against the pass all year. Eagles, kind of sneaky good defense. Bucs are going to win. Don't take the money line, but I do like the Eagles making it a little closer than Vegas thinks.
How about you? Who do you have for the last leg of the Mo and McKee parlay?
Yeah, I really wanted to take the money line here, Kevin, but if they're going to give me 3 points, I'll take it with 49ers over the Cowboys. I think the 49ers, really emotional win last week over the Rams. I think they kind of ride that into Jerry's world. Cowboys are getting the classic home team 3-point favorite. That means that Vegas thinks that this is a much more even game than the spread indicates. They're giving the Cowboys those 3 points just for being the home team. And I think the 49ers can get after Dak. I think the 49ers can run the ball consistently. Deebo Samuel, special player. I think he can be the difference against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I like that pick as well. I do think they'll get after Dak and be very aggressive on defense early and potentially could get out to an early lead. I like the money line as well, and throw in one more there. If you don't like either of those picks, I think the over-under at 51 is really high for these two teams. I do like the under on 51 as well.
All right. Well, if you want to do a five leg guy, you can hit one there. Otherwise, I will be sending money to someone who lives in a betting state to bet on the Mo and McGee parlay. It's going to have great odds when you're talking about Kyler anytime TD, and then you're taking two dogs. So I like this quite a bit. Any final thoughts of the Mo and McGee on Fantasy regular season wraps up?
I don't know that I do, other than eat shit and fuck you.
Well, Kevin, that wasn't very nice. I was going to say that I was very excited to do a lot of fun things on the horizon for Mo and McGee. Our goal coming into next year, and I don't think we've ever said this, but we want to keep doing exactly what we're doing. What we're doing, I think, is creating a podcast that is different from any other fantasy podcast out there. You listen to any fantasy podcast, what do they do on, Tuesdays after the games, Kevin?
They recap and ignore everything that they said.
Yes, they recap every game. They ignore what they said last week. How many fantasy analysts are accountable like we are? We tell you how bad our flex plays are. We tell you where we missed on the write that downs. And so next year, we're going to keep coming to you with new segments. We're going to come to you hopefully with some guest, some guest callers, some things like that. Adding just, we're going to try to make next year the year of Mo and McGee on Fantasy, try to blow this thing up. So thanks for, riding with us. Hopefully you can come on throughout the summer. We have a lot of interesting, summer segments. We have, potentially prosperous prospects might come back. Kevin already said he's going to deep dive into some stats. We're going to be all over free agents, trades, signings, hopped out and back down into the war room, Kevin. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. You're right. That is much more pleasant than what I said. But yeah, coming back next year, Mo and McGee, 2022. Happy to have you guys there, and you know, get some of the best advice
eat
in the
shit,
industry.
Fuck you.
Eat shit and fuck you.
All
in
right,
true
folks,
Wisconsin fashion.
Yeah. So, like we just kind of said, our podcast schedule is not going to be like this. We'll probably try to push out one a month. Maybe once free agency hits, we might, you know, do a couple episodes throughout then. But that's it for the weekly Mo and McGee on Fantasy. Thank you guys. See ya.
See ya.